Many years ago, I heard this phrase from a great man of God that came to Mexico to teach us about leadership. His name is Dean Radke. I don't know if you have heard of him. And he said, growth without change is impossible. Growth without change is impossible. And I don't know if you have ever wondered why it seems that some people, talking about Christians, go from victory to victory, but on the other side, there's some Christians that go, like, it seems like they go from defeat to defeat. The Lord wants us to go from glory to glory, from victory to victory. But sometimes we are experiencing in our lives, it's not necessarily victory. And maybe we think that my faith is not working. Maybe I'm not declaring enough verses. But sometimes it's not your faith that is not working. I have heard this from some people when they hear the message of faith. And they don't get what they were believing God for. And they say, oh, I tried that message of faith before and it didn't work. And they say that like meaning like, I don't want to believe anymore. Or I don't want to hear that message of faith again because I tried it and it didn't work. But the truth is that faith tried you and you didn't work. And you know why? Because faith is more than just believing something or declaring something or decreeing something. Faith is a continual action, something that you do every single day. Faith without works, we know the verses, you know, is dead. It's not working. So your faith has to have actions. And in order for you and I to experience a victorious life, we need to face reality. Growth without change is impossible. And I want to go to 2 Corinthians 3:18. We are going to read from 2 Corinthians 3:18 from the New King James Version. And it says here, now, let me just say this. I know that for me to be here and sharing the Word of God with you is just unbelievable. I mean, this is just, I used to come to RLCC in the 90s when I was only like 24 years, 25, 26 years old. And now I'm back. And I'm preaching here. This is just, I mean, the Lord, those things that you are like, what are you doing, Lord? Because English is not my first language, as you have noticed. Now, I can preach in Spanish, but I'm actually, I'm really trying right now to speak in English. I know English, but it's really hard to speak it because I'm not used to speak English every single day. And I'm doing this because the Lord told me to do this. And sometimes there's things that the Lord is going to ask you to do that is not going to be the most comfortable or convenient for you. And that's where many Christians fail, because they're like, oh no, I don't want to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. I know we don't say it, but we just don't do it. Because I could have told Pastor Ed, oh no, my wife can preach. She speaks better English than me. Or there's a lot of people here. You guys can preach here. So I was thinking about this day the whole week. And I couldn't sleep last night. And I was actually dreaming that I couldn't speak English or Spanish. And to tell you the truth, I had a dream that I came to church and I didn't bring my English message. And I was like, oh no, I will have to do it in Spanish then. So are you in 2 Corinthians 3:18? It says here, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. From glory to glory. How many of you like to go from glory to glory? I love to go from victory to victory. And many Christians use this verse when they are going through difficult times. And they are like, I know the Lord is going to take me from victory to victory. I know I'm going through a difficult time right now, but I know the Lord will take me from glory to glory. And they think like, I know I'm in a mess right now, in chaos, but I know the Lord will take me soon to glory or to victory. And they start to declare this verse, from victory to victory. But what this verse is saying actually is this. Obviously, I'm paraphrasing. It says that God is going to take you from glory to glory, but not from a mess to a glory. Or not from a chaos to glory. Now, I know he took us from death and he gave us life. I'm not talking about that. You will understand it when I'm finished with the sermon. Trust me. The Lord wants to take you from a glorious position right now to a higher state of glory. The Lord wants to take this church, Redeeming Love, to a higher level of glory. Now, the question right now is there anything we need to change, Lord, so we can go to that next level? I don't know if you've been in life where everything seems stagnant, stuck, like, for years. And you are like, when is this going to be over? And maybe you are saying, my faith is not working, or it's because of them. That's why I'm not doing better. I remember when I used to come to RLCC, the first couple of weeks that I came, and it was probably 1996, and you guys were in the Circle Sanctuary, and I came with my girlfriend, Pastora Jessie. And I was, you know, it was just the music, Pastor Clinton, and everything was just great. And I remember that I told Jessie, I want to get there early, and I want to sit up the front, in the front row. Because, you know, I want to enjoy the music, like, right there, where the anointing is. And I was a new Christian. It was only my, like, 3 weeks that I was born again. So I remember one Sunday we came early. I got to sit in the front row. And I was sitting just there. And an usher approached me. And he told me. He actually didn't say it like out loud. He approached me and said in my ear, excuse me, you are not allowed to sit here if you are wearing boots. You have to bring dress shoes. So I was sitting there, you know, I got there early. And now the usher is telling me, now, please don't get upset with nobody, okay? Maybe the usher is here. I don't remember who it was. But I want to talk to you at the end of the service. No, I'm just kidding. So I was sitting there, and he's like, sorry, you have to take another seat on the back row. Now, I don't know what you're thinking right now, but I can see your faces. And I said, and I was about to get upset. Actually, I was upset. I was about to say something. And I was there just thinking, oh, no, this is not happening to me. They probably discovered that I'm Mexican. Or I don't know. So for a few seconds, I was just thinking in my head, what's going on? I don't believe that he's telling me this. And I said, okay. So I turn around and look at Jesse. I'm like, we have to move. She's like, what did he tell you? That I'm not allowed to sit here because I don't have dress shoes. I'm wearing boots. And she's like, okay, let's go. So I went to the second row and I sat down. And I spent in this church for 4 years after that. And you know what the Lord told me? The Lord told me this. That he allowed that to happen to me in order for me to learn how to follow instructions. And not to be easily offended. Now, I could have been really upset and say, you know what? I'm leaving this church. I'm never coming back here again. You guys are not Christians. And I have told this story in Mexico so many times. And I always tell them, because there was a lot of things that I learned here in ROCC, just watching you guys doing everything with excellence. And that day, the Lord taught me how to follow instructions. And I know that one key or principle to have success in life is to know how to follow instructions. If Adam knew how to follow instructions, he probably knew. He just didn't follow them. Because we know that we need to tithe. Maybe we are not following the instructions. I'm just saying. No? So the Lord taught me how to follow instructions. I'm saying this because in order for the Lord to take you from the glory that you are in right now to a higher glory, make sure you are doing what he told you. Make sure you are doing those little things and you are following instructions and you are not getting easily offended. And I'm not just talking about church. I'm talking about marriage. I'm talking about professionally. I'm talking about in your family, in every arena of your life. the word glorious, because it says that he's going to take us from glory to glory. The word glorious means working successfully or operating successfully. So the Lord, in order to take you to a higher level of glory, he needs you to be working successfully right now in whatever it is that you are doing. If you are not doing it successfully, he's not going to promote you. I'm sorry, I know it's only February and we are already going strong with the word of God. But ask yourself this question. Am I living a glorious season in my life right now? Or am I in a mess, stagnant, stuck in something? Let's read 2 Corinthians 3:18 again. It says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The phrase unveiled face obviously is talking about a covering. And if you are going to be victorious in life or have a glorious situation in your life, you need to come to the Word of God without a veil. You and I use a mirror probably every single day, right? If you don't use a mirror, especially women, right? They love mirrors. Guys too, they just want to say it, but how many of you, when you use a mirror, you cover your face and you come to the mirror? Here's the mirror. And you have a covering over your face. If I do that, you will think that I'm crazy. Because it's not going to work. And Corinthians 3:18 is saying that with unveiled face, we have to come to the mirror. The word of the Lord is compared to a mirror. You know that, right? And the way you interact with a mirror should be similar the way you interact with the word of the Lord. Do you use a mirror every day? You have to use the word of God every day. Do you use the mirror to fix your hair? Yes. Who does the fixing? The mirror or yourself? Because I haven't seen a mirror that has these hands. When you come to the mirror, he's like, okay, let me do this. Okay, nice. Okay, now you can go. No. The mirror only says your face or your hair needs to be fixed. And you fix it. But many Christians think that the Lord is going to change them. I have heard this. When the Lord makes me tithe, then I'm going to tithe. He's not going to make you. Start doing it. Now, every time that you come to the mirror, you have to do it without the covering. And that means with honesty. You have to be honest with yourself. Okay? You have to face reality. I remember one day, because the fastest way for a person to change is when they face reality. That's the fastest way. If you want to lose weight, I don't know why we start laughing every time we talk about weight, you know. And, you know, many people try to lose weight, and they just try. They don't do it until they go to a doctor, and the doctor says, if you don't lose 50 pounds, you're going to die. 2 months later, they look thinner. Why did they change? Because they face reality. The fastest way to a person to change is to face reality. Now, okay. I remember one day I wanted to lose weight because I was weighing like, I don't know, 240 pounds, and I'm only 5'7". And I remember I was in Peru for vacations, and I just ate so much the day before, and I went to sleep. And I don't know if this happens to you, but when I woke up, my face was like swollen, and I remember going to the mirror, and I was looking at myself, and I saw like my eyes, like here in the bottom, they were like stuck together, the skin, like I couldn't open my eyes quite well. My throat was really, it was hurting because I was snoring the whole night because of the food. And my wife probably was really upset because I was snoring the whole night. And I was looking myself in the mirror. And the Lord started to speak into me. And he told me, if this is how you want to treat your body, and I was in like silence just right now, like in here. And I got to Mexico and I started to lose weight. I found help from a nutritionist. And I lost like 70 pounds. The fastest way for a person to change is to face reality. And he says, you have to come to the mirror without a veil. Now, let me help you with these questions. I'm going to give you some questions that you can write them down or just listen to them. And it's to take an inventory of how your lives are going right now, to see if you're going from victory to victory, or actually you're trying to go from a mess to a victory. Ask yourself, one, have I done everything the Lord has told me to do until now? Have I done everything the Lord has told me to do until now? Do I know what is it that he wants me to know, to do? Do I even know? Have I finished the assignments that the Lord has asked me to do? Have I finished the assignments? Because everyone here has a mission from the Lord. Everyone here. Now, maybe you have finished the assignments. Ask the question. Have I done them with excellence and on time? Have I done the necessary things to live an outstanding life, an outstanding season of my life, that I can be an example to others to how to live victoriously? Ask yourself. Because God is not in the business of giving a person 100 when he's only scoring 65. God will not promote you. He will not pass you to the next grade if you are scoring below passing grade. And the Lord wants you to score 100 in the assignment that you are doing right now. And let me give you an example. One day, my wife and I, we were getting ready to do a marriage retreat in Acapulco. And we took a few days off from the office, and we decided to study in our house for the marriage retreat. And we were, I remember that morning I woke up, I made coffee, and I went to the table, and I started drinking my coffee, and then my wife came also to the living room, and she sat down in front of me, and I was reading a book, and I was taking notes, and I was, you know, preparing a sermon for the marriage retreat. And I decided to talk about forgiveness. And I was just, you know, studying, drinking my coffee, and my wife was in front of me. And then the Lord told me, are you going to teach about forgiveness when you don't even ask for forgiveness to your wife? Because he knew that a day before, we had a huge argument with my wife. Huge. She was crying, I was yelling, I was, you know, how husbands get. Well, maybe it's just me. I was actually driving. I was like, no, and, you know, and I'm driving. Ah! And she was crying, and she was scared. And then the next day, for me, everything was fine. And she wasn't saying anything. She was just reading her Bible, and we just... And then the Holy Spirit told me, so are you going to teach about forgiveness and you don't practice it? You don't ask for forgiveness? If you're going to go to a higher level of glory, the mess that you are in right now, you have to fix it. The Lord is not going to say, okay, don't worry, little child. Don't worry about the mess, okay? I clean it up after you. Don't worry. I'm going to take you to a higher level. Don't worry. I'm going to tell the angels to come and clean everything up. No. And I said to the Holy Spirit, because he was telling me, confronting me, you're going to teach the couples how to ask for forgiveness, and you are not doing it. And remember, she was sitting across the table, and I was sitting here trying to hide, I don't know where. She didn't know everything was this. This was going on because the Lord was telling me. So I got up, I went to the bathroom, and I went to look myself into the mirror. That's why I brought a mirror, because that's how the Lord speaks to me. So I went to the mirror, and I was like this. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? How many of you ask the Lord, what do you want me to do, when you know already? Now I feel better. And I said, Lord, you know it's really hard for me to ask for forgiveness. It's not my strength. I was just telling him the truth. I was not with a bell. But you saw what she did to me, right? You know she was screaming too. And Lord, you know how I get when people scream at me when I'm driving. It's just stressful. No. I took the veil off and I said, Lord, okay. I know that I don't do it. And I know I need to do it. But Lord, you know me. You know that I need help. I asked the Lord, help me to ask for forgiveness. And I will do it. If you help me, Lord, I will do it. I started crying like a little kid. I said, Lord, you know, it's really hard for me. But I love you and I love my wife. And I will do it. But help me. Help me. And he said, okay, this is what are you going to do. You're going to go to the living room. You're going to sit down beside her. And you're going to look into her eyes and tell her. He told me everything that he's so good. Because he wants to take you from this level of glory to a higher level of glory. Now, before I finish the story, we were praying for a glorious marriage retreat. For signs and wonders. Yes, Lord, you're going to restore those couples. And the Lord says, mm-mm, not like that. Come. So he's like, you're going to look into her eyes and you're going to tell her, Jesse, look at me. I want to. Now, this was the first time that I was doing this. And we were already probably like 10 years into our marriage. First time. And I was a pastor already. Well, an associate pastor. I think that's. So I told her. This is what the Lord told me. I didn't say the Lord told me. Because that's not what the Lord told me. Go and tell her that I told you. I don't know if you're getting it. I hope so. And I said, Jesse, I want you to forgive me because I haven't been the husband that you deserve and that I'm supposed to be. I love you. And I want you to tell you. And I want you to tell you. I think that's correct. Okay. And I want to tell you. And I want to tell you. That from now on, I will do my best to be the husband that you deserve. And the Lord told me, and you will give her a kiss and a hug. And then you're going to go back to your seat and don't say anything else. Don't say it's your fault. Don't say nothing. Because he knows me. I think some people are getting it. And I did it. And she started crying. And she hugged me. And we had a glorious marriage retreat in Acapulco. That's what I'm talking about. The Lord is not going to take you from a mess to a glorious position. He wants you to fix everything right now. Now, I'm not trying to say here that we are a mess, you know. But I know that the Lord is working in each of us in an arena, in an area in our life that needs to be fixed. Everyone here. If you say no, then you should go running to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, tell me right away. Right now, I need to fix it. Because he does that. And when you fix it, you will think, okay, that's it. I'm ready now. He will say, okay, let me show you another thing now. That's how he does it. Now, you can pretend that everything is good. You can bury your head in the sand, in the dirt. Say, okay, nothing is going on. Everything is fine. I don't know what this Mexican pastor is talking about. And I didn't even understand his English. So I'm okay. The Lord is not going to ask me for anything else. Self-deception is very costly. To tell yourself that everything is okay and not to be honest with yourself is only a temporary solution for a long-term problem. Everyone has an area in their lives that need to be more glorious. And the Lord wants to promote you to a higher glory. Be honest with your behavior. Be honest with your performance. Be honest with your attitudes and with every condition of your life. Just be honest. It says here, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Let's read it again. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are being transformed. The word transform means metamorpho. Meta implies an exchange. Something needs to be exchanged. And morpho means the external shape or of something. So this word is saying that a real transformation has to happen in your life. That will change the inside first and also the outside appearance, the external appearance has to change. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be proved what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So let me give you these three steps so you can go from glory to glory. I don't know about you, but I need to go from glory to glory. And if there's an area that I need to fix right now, I will do it because I want the Lord to promote me. And if we're going to reach a higher level of glory in this church, in the Spanish church, there's changes to be done. That's where we have to face reality. I'm as a pastor have to face reality. What is it that I need to change? First step, you have to take the veil off when you go to the mirror. You have to be honest with yourself. Second step is to be transformed. Let the Lord transform you. Ask him, what is it that I need to change? And do it. I don't know if, probably not, but I'm going to tell you the story when I was trying to get my American visa to travel to the States. And I went to the consulate in Mexico 6 times. To get my visa. And 5 times they denied the visa. And one of those times, the gentleman that took care of me, he said, he took my application, the paper, He actually did this to me. He took the paper and he's like, go visit all other countries. You already visited the States for so many years. So we're not giving you a visa. And I was about to get upset. No, I was upset. Sorry. And this is what I thought. I'm going to go outside the building, and he has to come out of the building. And I was already the dean of Rema Bible School. And I want to wait outside, and he has to come out. But I remember a few minutes before, I was sitting down waiting for the council to call me. And the Holy Spirit told me, Enrique, if they deny you the visa, are you going to still rejoice? And I said, yes. And this is what the Holy Spirit told me. Okay, because they're not going to give you a visa. And do you think that I rejoice? No. I wasn't rejoicing. I was upset. I needed to fix that mess in order for him to take me to a higher state of glory. And I was so upset. I didn't wait for him outside the building. Don't worry. I went to my house. Next day, I came to the office. And Pastor Rhonda came. And she was really excited. Okay, what happened with the visa? You got your visa? And I said, nope. And I don't remember, I think she went to her office, and then a few minutes back, after she came back to my office and said, okay, Enrique, that's it. You have to tell me, what is it that you want from the Lord about your visa? Because we need to get you a visa. You have to travel to the States. And this is what I told her. This is the mess I was in. This is what I told her. This is what I want. I want the USA government to send somebody from their office and come. I want the USA government to send somebody from their office with the visa to my office and apologize for what they're doing to me. And this is what Pastor Rhonda told me. Enrique, that's nonsense. That's pride. And it's never going to happen. I think you're getting the message now. No, I love Pastor Rhonda. She's been a great help in my life. And she just left the office. And I was really upset now. And I went home. And I know what the Lord was telling me. I knew. And I changed my attitude. And I changed my heart. There was an exchange, a metamorphosis inside of me. I needed to be transformed and say, okay, Lord, I'm not going to be prideful. I did something wrong, living illegally in the United States. So the last time I went, the sixth time, I went in a different attitude. And I went to see a lawyer, and the lawyer told me, before you go, you need to learn how to, this is what he told me, a lawyer, he wasn't a Christian. He told me, you need to learn how to ask for forgiveness. Who are you? And he's like, and you're a pastor, right? I said, yeah. Oh, you should know this. And you're going to go and tell them. And you will have only 60 seconds to convince them that you have repented. This is what he told me. And he charged me. He was charging me. And he said, if you want, you can come back and we can practice. I said, no, don't worry. I'll do it myself. And this is what he told me. And if you can cry and show them like a tear, that will convince them that you already repented. And he told me, you have to use phrases like, I don't have a face to look at my children because of what I did. I'm ashamed of what I did, living illegally in the United States. I will not do it again. He was telling me all these things. I'm like, what? Are you serious? He's like, yeah. If you want your visa, that's how you have to do it. And guess what? I went. I got there. Okay, I said, okay, 60 seconds, 60 seconds. This is how the Lord showed me how to ask for forgiveness and get rid of pride. And I went there. The lady came. And the first thing she said, so you live in the United States for 14 years illegally, right? And then I started my speech. And I told her, I want to ask for forgiveness to the USA government of what I did. And it took me like 27 seconds. And I paused. And she was staring at me. She's like, what? Okay, wait here. She went somewhere. She took like 10 minutes. And I was just standing there. I'm like, where is she? And she came back and she's like, okay, your USA visa has been approved. It took me 10 years to fix the mess for the Lord to take me to another state of glory. So I don't know what's everyone's situation right now. I don't know how's your marriage, your household, in the ministry. But this thing I know, the Lord wants to take you from glory to glory. But first of all, he needs you to do what he already asked you to do. And you know it. Let's stand up. And let's establish this truth in our hearts. Just listen. If this stage of my life is not glorious, I will remain in that chaos or mess until I decide to take the veil off, to be honest with myself, to look into the mirror and face reality. And then make the necessary changes for the Lord to take me to a higher level of his glory. There's more. I know you have been through really good seasons from the Lord. But I'm telling you, there's even better seasons ahead of us. More glorious, more anointing, more miracles, if we make the changes necessary. God wants you to go from glory to glory. But he will wait until you have finished with the assignment that he already told you, before taking you to another level of his glory. He will not do it other way. He's just waiting on us to do it. Remember when Moses was talking to the Lord, when the enemy was behind the whole Israel nation, And the Red Sea was there, and he was, Lord, what are we going to do? And he's like, what are you doing here talking to me? Get your rod. Talk to the water, and let's walk. You know what you need to do. Just do it. Write down the necessary steps and finish the assignment that the Lord gave you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Father, show us what is it that we need to fix. Show us clearly the necessary steps that we need to take in order for us to go from glory to glory. We want to do exactly what you're expecting us to do. And we want to do it with excellence and on time. We ask you, in the name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. You can sit down. Hallelujah. 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 He's good. He is good. He is good. Well, before I leave the mic to Deacon Rosemary, let me just read this from Romans 10, 9 and 10. And it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So if there's somebody here or maybe watching online that you are not saved, let's do this prayer. And the Lord is going to come into your heart and he will save you. Because that's what the word of God says. If you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. Let's pray to do the sinner's prayer. Lord, we come into your presence asking you to be our Lord and our Savior. I believe in my heart that you were raised from the dead so I can be justified. Lord Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my life. Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. Amen. Hallelujah.